following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hello, everyone. It's Yang Wu. I'm senior producer on the Hearthstone team. You're listening to A Worthy Opponent.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to turn 101 of A Worthy Opponent, podcast based on the Blizzard game Hearthstone. We are a casual podcast, and we will get into that yet again for the 101th time. Ugly Brute's on vacation, so it's just me, and like it was way in the beginning, just for this week, Autumn's Bane.
You can only pick it up if you are worthy.
Aha! That is the charged hammer.
No, and it's Thor's hammer.
The Thor's hammer, yes.
No, you're right. It's charged hammer.
It's but it's based on Thor.
Shaman epic weapon, forecasting cost, 2 attack, 4 durability, death rattle. Your hero power becomes deal 2 damage. Kind of cool. We'll discuss it later.
Mm-hmm. We will, definitely.
So what's 100 and...
Dalmatians.
No, you said 100 and...
101 turns?
No, you used a word, and I meant to address it. I said, let me wait till my turn, and then the old-timer syndrome kicked in, and
I didn't
forgot
say
what you
episode,
said.
Did I?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. So, anyway, it's time to charge forward!
Charge forward!
Yes, we have news. And we'll that's the biggest
back.
News for Hearthstone. Yeah.
Everybody get out of here!
Yeah, the Warsong Commander got the Nerf Bat.
Again.
So why don't you tell us about it? Because it's already had the Nerf Bat, and I think we are going to see bye-bye Patron Warrior.
It's already gotten it?
That's what I'm asking.
I don't think it's gone live yet.
No, but it will.
It will. So the Warsong Commander, staple of the Grim Patron deck, Warrior deck, has been nerfed yet again. Now, once upon a time, it gave your minions charge. Back in beta. Remember that?
Yep. All your minions.
Yeah, all your minions. Then they decided that's a little too much. So, and warriors were way overpowered partly because of that. So they changed it to whenever you summon a minion with 3 or less attack, give it charge. And of course, the patron warrior completely... abused that ability, not only with the patrons.
They loopholed it. They didn't really abuse it. They just found a loophole and went with it.
Well, when I say abused it, I mean they made maximum use of it. Because not only you have those grim patrons out there taking damage, making more. You'd put the frothing berserker out there before you did all of that. And every time one of them got wounded and reproduced like little bunnies, the Frothing Berserker would get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it would have charge too. So basically, just like the old Unleash the Hounds nerf, it became the one-turn kill. And what does Blizzard say about the one-turn kill?
Nerf it.
They don't like it. They'd rather see us trade minions turn after turn than to see somebody come out with a whole mess of minions and charge forward. It's not compelling gameplay. And soon we shall see a new Warsong Commander. And that Warsong Commander will say, your charge minions have +1 attack. So there's still the word charge in there, but it's not letting anybody charge.
Yeah. That's going to be very painful. I mean, I don't play that that class, but I could see. I wish Micmac were on the show this week because I would love to hear, or even Ugly Brute, of course, just because I'd love to hear their opinions because they are the warrior players.
Well, it doesn't. A lot of people are saying, well, Grim Patron Warrior is dead. It's not really dead. It's only mostly dead.
I don't know if chocolate will help this one.
You can still play the Grim Patrons. You can still do what you were doing. But the great advantage of being the charge over in a single turn is gone. So if you can do all of that and withstand whatever AoE your opponent has on the next turn, because your opponent might not have a Flame Strike or a Blizzard or, you know, the lightning things that Shaman do or whatever, might not be able to take them all out. So I think it could still be a fun deck to play. I just don't think it's going to sit at the top of the ladder anymore.
Yeah. So that's the big Hearthstone news. Well, except for, let me see, viewing parties at BlizzCon. That's something else.
Why don't you talk about that?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about that. That was your agenda.
Yeah, but you're going to talk about that because there's too much news and I don't want to talk about it all. I'm already choking to death.
All right. One second. Let me get that up because you completely per-schnickered me. So the viewing parties. Basically, Blizzard, of course, everybody knows that 2015 is coming. So basically, they're going to have Blizzard viewing parties again. You can experience
BlizzCon.
BlizzCon. What did I say?
Blizzard.
Well, it is Blizzard. BlizzCon 2015.
Very soon.
Yep. BlizzCon viewing party. Experience the thrill of watching Hearthstone World Championships as it unfolds. You can take on the role of the innkeeper and host fireside gatherings to watch BlizzCon. You can collect and support a support package that use the prizes as giveaways for guests for the viewing parties. So basically what they're saying is that there will be viewing parties around the world. And one is likely close to you that you can visit firesidegatherings.com for a listing. Search the local gatherings near you. Keep an eye on the BattleNet launcher when you play Hearthstone because you'll get a prompt to find a fireside gathering near you if there will be one happening. So your actual launcher will alert you to the fact that there is one coming. You can host it by becoming an innkeeper for your own fireside gatherings. Head over to, again, firesidegatherings.com, submit your event details, and then they'll review the event and let you know if it's been approved. I believe there's a limit, though. You can plan your BlizzCon viewing party during the BlizzCon opening week, which is October 28th through 31st, during the finals at the BlizzCon November 6th and 7th. And you can watch the Hearthstone World Championship and the BlizzCon 2015 opening ceremonies free of charge on the official Hearthstone Twitch channel or purchase, as you know, the virtual ticket, which we're doing, and enjoy all the action that BlizzCon has. You have to be 18 years of age or over. The viewing party must be open to the public in a public space like a cafe, a restaurant, a bar, a meeting hall. It means no
private...
Not a speakeasy.
Not
a speaking, well, maybe, but no private private residences. The event will need to be scheduled at the firesidegatherings.com. And again, there it's a limited time offer. You must be 18 years or older, and the offer is limited to only 55 approved respondents. So if you're interested in doing that, get your application in right away. And that's news as far as Hearthstone.
But there's other Blizzard news.
There's lots of other fun Blizzard news.
Yeah, World of Warcraft, it's Hallow's End, and that means Halloween in Warcraft. But this year, there's new stuff. There's a whole bunch of new stuff. You actually have people showing up in your garrison if you're max level or near max level.
You can decorate your garrison. Got pumpkins all over mine.
There are daily quests, so you can go out on daily quests and get currency, and the currency... There's a spooky currency and a merry currency, so that means these vendors are either going to go and come back again or stick around through the holidays, because with the spooky currency, you buy things that can, you know, put pumpkins and candles around your garrison, or you can turn all your guards into skeletons, or you can call out a bunch of creepy crawly things, which are actually battle pets that you could battle and tame. So if everyone's saying there's no content in Warcraft... There's a whole bunch of new stuff, and we're not going to go into too much detail. Wowhead has an excellent review on everything new.
Mm-hmm.
So they've really revamped the holiday, and there's stuff that used to be random you can now buy. So if you play Warcraft and you like the holiday, or if you used to like the holiday and gave up on it for the past few years, check it out now. You'll have some fun.
Great. Cool. Now, the next thing we want to talk about, I am absolutely flipping over. This is my favorite part, is Overwatch Beta.
Yeah. It starts on the 27th, right?
Yep. That's, 8 days?
Yeah, 8 days. Lot of people excited about that. It's closed beta, and you and I were kind of disagreeing about who's going to be in.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first wave is going to be Blizzard employees, friends and family, celebrities, people who are like friendly to Blizzard, maybe big podcasting hosts.
I want to cut you off for a second. I want to retract a statement I made last week. I was over-exuberant and really, really excited, and I feel like I've played Hearthstone forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I was in at the beginning of closed beta. I was not in at alpha. I just want to correct that. You knew that, but just to put it out there, I don't like tooting my own horn when it's broken. So I was in the very beginning of closed beta, but I was not in alpha. But that
being
said,
is it a rusty horn?
It is very rusty. Anyway, I'm hoping to be in at the very beginning of closed beta of Overwatch, and I'm also hoping that it won't make me nauseous. But yeah. Do go on. There's more to it.
No, you started. You go ahead.
Huh? As you know, 27 is when closed beta is opening. They're going to be doing hardcore looking at what they're doing and mashing up problems, and then they're going to do the closed weekends that they're going to open every once in a while a weekend, so that
like
we can
stress testing the servers and things
exactly
like that.
So we can just have tons and tons and tons of people bashing all at once to make sure that the servers don't overload and everything all crash, because that's what beta is all about, crashing and glitches and mistakes and problems, and it's a good idea.
A lot of betas do that. I can't remember the last time a Blizzard beta did that, though.
No, this is true. I mean, I did it in Terra. I did it in Arcage.
Yeah, I did it in Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yeah, but
at first it was just weekends. And but I've been in a couple of Blizzard betas, and I don't remember them ever being a weekend-only thing. So, anyway, if I could get in for a weekend, that's better than not getting in at all. I'm good with that.
Very, 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 very excited. And then, of course, there's the other Blizzard game.
Yeah, well, this is kind of two Blizzard games at once. You know, the big Protoss expansion for StarCraft is coming out, Legacy of the Void. And if you pre-purchase that, and I think you could still do it, you will get Heroes of the Storm, Artanis hero, for free. Not only do you get it for free, you get it a week before everybody else who could buy it with gold or cash. So,
is Artanis a human, or is he?
No, he's a Protoss, and this is a,
Protoss. Obviously, I don't play the game, so
it's a Protoss expansion. So, of course, they're going to have him. But you know, they're kind of doing a StarCraft thingy. You know how they did the big Diablo promotion recently,
right? Right.
Now it's StarCraft's turn, because they just got that. That healer, Morales, I think her name is. And
so I'm figuring we're going to see some new maps showing up too.
Oh yeah, and I bet a StarCraft map would look really cool.
Absolutely.
But anyway, you can get access to Artanis starting October 20th, which is the day after we're recording. So,
which is tomorrow.
The day that most people will download this podcast is the day that Artanis becomes available. And, October 27th for everybody else. So October 27th is big, because this thing starting October 27th, this thing's ending October 27th. The Loot Goblin mount that's available in Heroes, last chance, October 27th, it goes away.
I just don't know if I want to spend 20,000 gold to get it.
You have the gold.
I have the gold, but I probably won't ever use it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, what else are you going to do with it? Buy a couple more heroes?
Well, I'm waiting for some huge hero to show up that I really, 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 really want to play. Which is funny because I love Sylvanas. But anyway. So that's pretty much it for the news that we've got.
So we touched on Warcraft, StarCraft, Heroes, Overwatch. And of course Hearthstone.
Right.
So I guess that's the news.
That's the news. I think the biggest is the Warsaw and Commander. But I wanna just take a step back, kind of go back in time even a couple of podcasts. We always mention how we're
casual.
Casual, yep. And just to let people know, we are not paid for this. We are not professional broadcasters. We have not done years of college in broadcasting. I work at a veterinary clinic and Autumn's Bane works in a hospital. So this is a hobby. And because we have a hobby, we are not experts and we've never claimed to be. So we do make mistakes. We state that this is a casual podcast and that, we give our opinions of how the cards are. And our opinions don't have to be right. They're just our opinions. So if we like a card, we're not saying it's the best card out there. If we don't like a card, it could be the best card out there. So, just letting people know, these are our opinions. We're hoping you're listening to us for the fun of it and that you just have fun with us. And I just wanted to say that. Now, Autumn's Bane, did you want to say anything about this?
Yeah, we are not the typical podcast. Well, when we first started doing this, by the way, this is my 100th episode because I missed one for my dad's funeral. So, yay, I'm 100 now. 100 turns in. You know what? There are a lot of podcasts out there that actually collect money from people. We've never asked for a penny. When we first started, there were only a couple out there. The biggest one started just a week before us.
The Angry Chicken?
Yes. And several of the others folded just before us. We were the first to have a tournament. We've always been about the community. We were the first podcast to offer a tournament. I've always been just about the listener, listening to some people who are noobs just like them. Well, maybe you're not all noobs. As the legendary listeners started rolling in, we learned that. But we're about, you know how you listen to just a talk show? That's us. We're a talk show. If you want to come to a podcast to learn how to be a better Hearthstone player, we're probably not for you. Less listeners have said they have learned things from us.
Which we love.
That's icing on the cake. That's not our intent. We love the game and we love to talk. And so we put the two together and we talk about the game. And a lot of you guys really, really, yeah, thanks, Ringo. really, really, have been listening to us for a long time and we appreciate that. And maybe some of you are new listening to us. And yes, there are like 20 podcasts out there now, some of whom started on our show. some of them have very good working relationships with us because they're very similar to us in scope and that they're for casuals. So we have nothing against any of the other podcasts, and some of you probably listen to all of them. That's a lot of hours at this point. But we're just tired of being beaten up by being casuals, for being criticized. If you're going to criticize us for being bad casual podcasters. Don't criticize us for being casual podcasters.
Right.
Please don't go on iTunes and say, these people stink because they're only casual. Yeah, we are only casual. And
we make mistakes because we're casual.
As we work towards our second 100th episode, we want people to know going forward, especially you new people out there listening, that we're here to talk about the game. We're not here to give you advice. We're not here to make you experts. So we're going to talk, and if you want to listen, that's great. We'd love to have you for
Absolutely.
Another 100 episodes.
So, Absolutely.
Off the soapbox on that.
And on to Randomonium. It's clobbering time. So I played this week. Randomonium was basically all the cards that came into your hand, the mana was kind of randomized. So you could have a 10 mana card that you are able to play on your second turn.
Or, like the person who beat me yesterday, you can have an 8/8 tree with taunt on turn one.
Ouch, ow.
Or the guy before him who had a first turn Avinia followed by 4/1 casting cost legendaries the next turn.
How did you do this week?
I didn't really do well. I got my my pack. But I played a few games. You know that I am not valued at the Church of RN Jesus. the random number generator has never been my friend in Hearthstone. But that didn't stop me from playing. I thought the idea was fun. You know how we say we like to have fun brawls? Even though I was losing, it was still fun because you never know what you're going to get. Now, it's pretty darn hard to strategize when you have no idea what your next card's going to be or what it's going to cost to play. So I guess that's part of the fun, you know, making do with what you have.
That's the Monium part.
But we didn't have to make our own decks, and already that's a plus.
I was waiting for that.
And one of our listeners, Flintlock, actually contacted me in-game, and I was AFK when he did, so I couldn't respond to him. He said it was the best brawl ever. So some people really liked it, but I thought it was interesting and fun and different, and I think that's what a brawl should be. So even though I mostly got my butt kicked, I think it was a really fun, interesting brawl, and I wouldn't want to play Hearthstone like that all the time. But for the 4 days I played it, I liked it. What did you think?
Oh, you played for 4 days.
Well, I think I played for 2 or 3. I had a quest to win 3 games as some hero. I don't even remember what it was. So I just did the brawl for it. And I think I played enough to win. But I thought it was fun. I was terrible. You know what? It reminded me of Heroes of the Storm. Something I'd love to play, but I'm absolutely terrible at.
Oh, no. Well, I liked it. I played it a couple times. It took me 3 times to win, to get my little pack of dust. And I played a mage. I did, however, get the quest, you know, win 5 games and, win 5 games in a brawl. I actually deleted the quest because I can't keep playing it over and over and over again. There were too many other things I wanted to do. So the time disappeared on me and I gave it up my quest log. But I did play it a few times and it was fun. I love getting, what is his name? Archimedes? No.
Archimedes? There's no Archimedes in this game.
See, I made a mistake. Oh my god.
What was it that you...
Archmage Antonides.
Oh, Archmage Tony. You gotta call Tony. Him Tony when Micmac is in the chat room.
I got Archmage Antonides out for 3 mana. And then I had my secrets and they were like 1 mana. So I was like fireballs. And then when you got the fireballs are, you know, were like 2 or 3 mana instead of 4 mana. So it rocked. It really was a lot of fun.
I had a mage get an Archmage Tony and then wail on...
Yep.
Well on me with some fireballs, and I never got one. Oh, but what I did get, this was like my play of the brawl. I got the Ronin. I got Ronin, and I got the 3 missiles, and I had a Malagos out. So my minions took out his minions. My Malagos, which gives +5 to spell power, with each, so you know, so that's 3 damage from an arcane missile, right? +5, that's 8. So I did 24 points of damage to the face with the missiles.
Oh. Ouch, ouch.
It's fun when you do it.
It is fun when you do it. Absolutely.
Not fun to be on the other side of it.
So, no, it was fun. I liked it. And again, just like you say, I just tend to like... I like them more, and I think the reason I like them more when they give you a deck to play is because I don't have a lot of time, especially during the week, because of my job and the weird hours I work, so that when they do the deck for me, I get to actually just get in there and play. And then I don't have to worry that 2 or 3 days later, the brawl's going to be over. So I think that's a big part for me. So.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We're going to move along. I'm going to actually share a couple of fun emails I got this week. One of them
you
is...
You got...
We... I'm sorry. I don't mean to claim them.
Well, one of them was addressed to you, but we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that later. Yes. First, we have a play of the week. And the play of the week is from Rorschach. Okay. He says, I love your show and look forward to listening to it every week. With this past week's brawl, Randomonium, I went 10-1 with the mage. The RNG gods were behind me this week with giving me Archmage Antonitus in most of my matches. I probably played against him. Here's a game where the RNG gods were really generous. My opponent was playing Warlock, and he had a board control through turn 6. On turn 7, I played an Archmage Antonitus for a discounted 3 mana cost. Then I played Ice Barrier for a discounted 2 mana cost, also giving me a Fireball. And then, knowing that he was going to kill my Archmage Antonitus, I played Duplicate, which discounted for 2 mana cost, gives me another Fireball, and gives me 2 copies of my legendary minion when killed. On his turn, he kills Archmage Antonitus, doing exactly like I predicted, but it gets better. On my turn, both copies of my Archmage get a reduced cost of 1 mana each. So I play both Archmage Antonitus, then Arcane Missiles, giving me 2 more Fireballs. I play the Time Rewinder on my Archmage, a spare part he gave me from a mechanical Yeti that he sacrificed earlier, giving him back in my hand, getting him back in my hand, but also giving me 2 more Fireballs. So in turn 9, I have 6 Fireballs, where 4 of them are discounted. Only in Brawl can you have a crazy play like this. I'm looking forward to hearing how the RNG gods treated you this week. That just sounded like, I have to say it, a blast?
Ha, ha, ha. No, it wasn't a fire blast. It was fireball.
It was a fireball.
That's what you call great balls of fire.
Yes, yes.
Goodness gracious.
All right. So that just, yeah, it was. It really was. I think that it Randomonium, the name is just perfect. And for what his description is, that was fun. That sounds
no,
great.
No, the name was not perfect. Puns are the lowest form of humor. I hate puns.
That's why
you
do it all the time.
Oh, wait. That's right. I love puns. So it was the greatest name for a brawl of all time.
All right. We also had an embarrassing moment. And this one was sent to me by Dusty. And he's a repeat offender here. Hey, guys and gal. I had an embarrassing moment happen in game today, but it was actually my opponent's whoops. Scenario, I'm playing Control Warrior, he's playing a Hunter. I have 1 life left and he has 12, and it's my turn. He has several minions on the board, I have none. I have Death's Bite with 1 charge left on it. I know unless I draw Brawl to clear the board, or Grommash for a combo and the win, I die. So of course I draw Baron Geddon. I decide that instead of passing and waiting for him to kill me, I'll just commit suicide by dropping Baron Geddon, does 2 damage to every character at the end of my turn, and move to the next match. So I say, well played, and drop the Baron. As soon as the Baron hits the board, he concedes. I friend him afterwards, and I asked him why he conceded, and he told me he conceded because I had dropped Grommash, and I was going to hit
Grommash.
For lethal. Yes. I told him that I dropped Baron Geddon. No response for about 10 seconds. Then he just says, are you sure? I told him yes, and he just says, crap. I got ranked win and a good chuckle. Glad you are still enjoying the ping deck, Blacklace. Yes, I am. Dusty.
So, that's freaking hysterical.
He thought he dropped Grommash, and he had dropped Baron Geddon, and he was going to blow himself up, but basically didn't have to and got conceded and won with the other one having lethal 12-1. But what I really, really like the most about this email is the fact that they became friends after the game and were able to chat about it. So that is very cool.
Yeah, that was a classic.
Oh,
I love it.
That's just awesome. Yep.
Hey, I don't know if we discussed this earlier. When are we going to add in the glitch slapped?
Right now.
Okay. So those longtime listeners will remember glitch slapped as a term that Blacklace came up with whenever something was happening, which happened a lot back in beta. But I'd love to know if anybody else is experiencing this. People can write in or if they're in the chat room. But I've been opening cards and I've been dusting them, and I keep my inventory tab or my journal or whatever you call this book with all the tabs keep showing random classes having numbers there as if I had just gotten new cards. And then I flip through and they're just cards I had already. And It's just weird. And it happened to me again today.
I've been noticing that too.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah.
I get a deck of cards and it shows like, okay, two.
Well, the thing is, they're like commons from the original decks, cards packs.
Or any expansion. And so you dust them and then boom, there's like six ones and a couple of twos on my tabs. And I go and look at them like, this isn't new. I have two of them. Anyway,
it
was one of the oddest glitches I've seen, and it's kind of driving me crazy. I don't know why. It's harmless. Maybe they're giving me new cards. No, I don't think so. But it's just weird. And people who haven't noticed it happening, they're going to end up looking and say, oh, it happened to me too.
Mark
my words.
Yep. So yeah, no, it's happened to me too. I noticed it as well. We are going to move on to talk about cards, except my Hearthstone has crashed upon me. This week, we did the Rogues last week, so we're moving on to, yay, the Shaman.
Oh, and look, it happened to Micmac too. All right, I'm not
okay,
crazy.
See? Nope, you're not. Well, not
well,
about that at
not
least.
Not more crazy than usual.
Right. All right, so we're going to talk cards. Yes?
Sure.
All right, my favorites, of course, the Shaman, which is, you know, it's kind of funny that I'm calling it my favorite and it's like Crash and Mage all the last couple of months at this point. So I don't know.
You don't know what?
If Shaman's still my favorite, if my little ping deck kind of just won me over.
You're saying you're not going to go back to the Shaman with like one of the best Shaman expansions ever?
Not so much, but I mean, I do play it. I do, but I'm just having fun pinging the hell out of people. I actually thought the first card of the Shaman cards for the Grand Tournament, I thought that was going to be the flavor text you were going to read today.
Oh?
Yes. It's a giant Tauren wailing with lightning bolts flying around him. Mommy!
Those mommy!
Ancestral
knowledge.
Well,
that's a card I can't do next week.
No, well, you can, but I won't guess. You weren't going to do it anyway.
Nah. Eventually. That's kind of cute, mommy.
Yep. Two casting cost, ancestral knowledge, draw two cards with an overlord load of two. No.
That's four mana for two cards?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it either. Because it's, well, I mean, if you're going to hold it, well, let me, no, actually, I'm going to flip. I'm going to say it could be decent. This is the kind of card you don't want to play right away. You want to wait until further in the game when you are suddenly out of cards
but you have extra mana.
So much mana you don't know what to do with it. Then you play this card and it doesn't matter that you've used two mana when you have 10 because you're getting two more cards and you still have 8 mana left. So yeah, I think this could be a decent card if you've got a deck where you're concerned about card draw.
I suppose.
So yeah, I think it could be a good card. And there are just so many good cards out there. It's really tough.
There are.
But you still don't like it even with that spin on it?
No, I could see why, you know, that rationale would make it better. But you know, what is it? Arcane Intellect. I'm trying to find
mage.
It.
Mage. It's a mage.
Yes. Oh, it's three casting costs. All right, so Arcane Intellect is 3. I was thinking it was 2. So, given that and the fact that Shaman had less of a card draw to begin with, again, you know how I feel about having cards in my hand that just let you draw cards and cost mana to do. I'm not a fan of it.
But yeah, it does lock it up.
Yeah, I see Arcane Intellect used quite a bit. So, this is like the Shaman version of it. So, it's okay. I could see why a lot of other players would like it. I'm just not fond of that type of card.
Yep. Next,
Next, that would be my turn.
It would, because there's no ugly brute.
And this little sucker I'm seeing a lot. This is the Totem Golem. And it's Golem, not Gollum. He doesn't have a ring.
Golem.
It's Golem. Okay. Two casting costs. 3 attack, 4 health. Overload 1. He's basically a minion, but he's a totem. So anything that affects totems works on this guy. And when you have cards that summon random totems, you can get this guy too. Not from your initial, you know, not with your hero power, but other things that let you get random totems. I've seen him show up. So I can't remember off the top of my head what those are. Maybe we'll come to them. But in any event, this must be a good card because every shaman I come across is using him lately. So either I'm only facing bad shaman, which I doubt because they're kicking my ass, or this must be a really good card. First of all, a 3-4 for 2, that seems pretty good. I mean,
yep,
it's not
and
two.
The overload it's is two, only one.
But only one overload is not a big deal.
Yeah.
That means on turn 2, you get out this hefty minion, and he can be buffed with minion, with totem buffing minions,
mm-hmm.
like that stupid totem that gives the adjacent ones extra attack.
Flame
so,
turn.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised this is a common because it's really better than some of the rares. And
nope.
I haven't played shaman in a long time, but if I were to make a shaman deck today, because Blizzard suddenly decided to sell me extra deck slots, then I would put this in the deck.
I'm hoping they do that. I really am.
I can't just keep. I don't have the time to make decks only to destroy them so that I can make room for another deck. So Priest and Shaman just don't get played by me anymore because I need those other deck slots for extra things. Anyway, that's a different matter. Why don't you go on to the next card, which is Epic.
It's Epic, and I don't have it. It's a 3 casting cost Elemental Destruction. Deals 4 to 5 damage to all minions with an overload of 5. No, I'm sorry. I can't do it. Because 5 mana overload is a crap ton. I mean, and it's just so situational. You're going to damage your own minions if you've got them. So you're going to kill off your board. Otherwise, you're just saving this card in your hand until you don't have minions, but then you're not going to be able to really play anything on the next turn.
Yeah, but it's a big board clear. Look at how much the other big board clears for other classes cost. What, Flame Strike costs, what, 7? This is only 3 with an overload of 5, making it 8. And it's 8 that you don't pay all in one turn. So it's like the Flame Strike's 7, but with 1 interest.
Yeah, but if you played it on the third turn, you wouldn't be able to play the next turn at all.
No, you wouldn't. But what if you were suddenly being overridden by a Zoo deck or a Murloc deck?
Well, I don't have the card, so I can't actually check it out. Because I like saying on the cards I don't think are that great, I like to say, I'll try it. I can't.
Now imagine you have Spell Power minions out when you do this. So before it wipes out that Spell Power minion, you're going to get the bonus.
This is true. And if you've got... See, now the thing is, it'll still hit stealth minions as well.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
AoE
yep.
always takes out stealth.
Yep.
Or
so,
cannot be targeted minions like,
I just
you
think
know,
it's
the fairy
a lot
dragon.
Of, I think it's a lot of overload.
It is. In fact, I think that's the biggest overload in the game, isn't it?
I don't recall seeing any... Yeah, I really do. I think that is.
I think it's well worth it in the right circumstance, though.
Yeah, well, as I said,
because your
I don't
storm,
have it, so I can't really try it.
Your Lightning Storm is how much?
I think it's 3. Lightning Storm? Hold on.
Lightning Storm costs 3.
3.
But it only does 2 to 3, and it
mm-hmm.
has an overload of 2. So that's 5...
But that's to all enemy minions.
Yeah, that's true. It's more targeted to your enemy.
Mm-hmm. This will kill yours, too.
Yeah.
Unless you've got Death Rattles out. Hold on. I mean, there you go, too. Put that in a Death Rattle deck.
There you go. That's
and, yeah.
Good point.
Okay.
Good point.
So, yeah. All right. We'll keep it.
So I like the card, and obviously it's not meant for every deck, but it can be quite useful.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you do the next one?
I'm not a healer. Oh, well. Next is Healing Wave. It's a rare card, 3 casting cost, and there's no overload on this, but it's shaman only. Restore 7 health. Reveal a minion in each deck if yours costs more. So what does that make this? That makes this a joust card. If yours costs more, restore 14 instead. Yikes, that's a big fucking
heal.
Hell
yes. Hell yes. I have 2 of them. They are both in my deck. 3 casting cost for a possibility of 14 health back. This has saved my skin so many times.
You've used it? Awesome
card. Oh, yeah.
I thought you haven't been playing Shaman. Make up your mind, woman.
Well, I have, but I just not exclusive like I used to.
Yeah, well, I wish we could trade cards, because I have this in gold, and it's really awesome looking. Come in here, I'll show you after the show.
I will. Okay. Yeah, it's a great card. There's nothing wrong with this card. There's no overload. I mean, at the base, for 3 mana, you're getting 7 health.
Yeah,
And you can also restore it on something else. You don't have to put it on yourself. But let's face it, if you want to put 14 points on something, it's probably going to be you.
Yeah, well, as I've said before, I really enjoy this joust mechanic, and this is included.
Yep. I enjoyed that joust mechanic myself in somebody else's deck later. We'll discuss that in a bit. Next card is 3 casting cost, Tuskar Totemic. Totemic?
Totemic.
Totemic.
And Micmac points out if you play that Elemental Destruction when you've got a lot of big minions out, it won't kill them.
Choo-choo.
So, anyway, back to the Tuskar Totemic.
Okay, back to the Tuskar Totemic. Battlecry, summon any random totem. 3 casting cost, 3
There we
creature.
Go. Remember I was talking about summoning random totems? Mm-hmm. So Totem Golem could pop out from this.
That's true. So, yeah, there are just so many's. So many's. I just
so many's. No, I'm sure the kids use that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Summon any... It's only a one-time thing. But that's not so bad. That really isn't so bad. Because you're getting a 3-2 creature for 3 mana. And you're getting... It's like better than a 2-1 Murloc. In my book, at least. So yeah, you're getting a card with it. Put that with a knife juggler, and you've got 2 cards coming out as well. 2 little shots with a knife. Yeah, it's a decent card. What do you think?
I like it.
Yep. It
gives you an extra totem.
It does.
If you're playing a totem deck, of course. I mean, even if you're not playing a totem.
Even
deck.
If you're not, totems. But, that's the staple part of being a shaman.
Right. So some people ignore the whole totem part. They don't put any totem enhancing abilities into their deck. But certainly if you do have totem enhancing, you know, give all totems +2 health and, you know, give adjacent totems +1 to attack or whatever it is. All of those types of things go even better with this card.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's giving you an extra totem in addition to the minion you just paid 3 for. He, however, is not a totem, so we should specify that.
No. He's just a Tuskar Shaman. So the next card is Thor's Guard.
Thor's Hammer.
Yes.
Thor's Guard.
Thor's Guard. Thor's Guard.
Oh, Thor's Card. Like, Thor has a guard I didn't know about? Okay, anyway.
Charged Hammer.
Yes, Charged Hammer. Isn't that funny? Just like the god of thunder and lightning. Anyway, 4 casting cost, 2/4, as we said before. Death Rattle, your hero power becomes deal 2 damage. So, probably not to be used in a totem deck. Since this removes your ability to summon totems.
Yeah, and I mean, you do not want to put that in a deck that has Mistcaller, which we'll talk about later. No, not Mistcaller. What is the card... No, the one, the,
We'll get to it.
No, it's not a shaman card. It's the lady with the lance who gives your totems.
Justicar Trueheart?
Yes. You wouldn't want that in a deck that has Justicar Trueheart because that card, that her ability is to let you choose any totem you want. This would kind of nullify that.
True. But this makes your hero power sort of a cross between the arcane blast, the fire blast of the mage and the steady shot of the hunter. Because you deal 2 damage like the hunter's shot, but you direct it to where you want to, like the mage. So that's kind of a nice hero power.
And it's a death rattle power.
This is a weapon you get to use 4 times. Use it 4 times and then get a hero power. So maybe you're using it late game and you've already summoned all the totems you plan to summon. And now you want to just deal extra direct damage. And there you go. I like this card. I would use it if I were a shaman. There's going to be somebody out there saying, oh no, that card sucks, but I like it.
Because it's an unshaman shaman card.
Yeah, it changes the game. It's a little surprising, you know? A little ace up the sleeve.
Yep. Next is the Draenei Totem Carver. It's a 4-cast and costs 4/4 creature with a battle cry of gain +1/+1 for each friendly totem.
That card cost me a game today.
Did it really? It's a decent
card. My opponent
card.
Had 1 health left, and I was about to swarm over. And she just popped that out, and all of her totems got extra, and yeah, I died.
No, she gets +1/+1 for each friendly totem. So
yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. She had a bunch of totems, which made her tougher. And,
right. Now, if she's got the totems that have blocking on them, my brain is absolutely fried tonight, then absolutely you can't attack her and she'd be able to hit you next turn.
Well, I think somebody gave her Wind Fury on the next turn, so that's what happened. I wasn't able to take her out, and anyway, I see this used a lot in these new totem decks. So
I haven't actually, now I'm going to have actually run across a bunch of them, but I haven't played against a lot of totem players. I've been running against a lot of priests and paladins, and it's the Christmas tree paladins that I've been seeing the most, the secret paladins.
Maybe it's where we are on the ladder.
Could be. Well, I don't know. I've been all over the ladder lately.
Or maybe people are finding ways to thwart this deck. But for a while I was seeing it a lot, and now I'm not seeing it as much. I'm seeing a crap ton of mages for some reason. And priests.
Paladins.
One day I got 5 priests, in a row. 5 priests in a row within the past 2 weeks.
Poor Autumn's Bane. Next card, hun.
Thunder Bluff Valiant. Oh, I have all of these shaman cards in gold and I don't play them. 5 casting cost, 3/6. Okay, so it's pretty healthy. Inspire, give your totems +2 attack. There you go. Buff up the totems again. So,
and that's
again,
with an Inspire. So you cast a totem and buff up all your other totems.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
So this
is a decent
probably
card.
Yeah, it's got a bullseye on its head, too. You do not want this card to stay on the table.
Now, the other next
unless
card,
you're the shaman.
Right. Next card also has a bullet, a target on its head, but it really doesn't matter because by the time it comes out, the damage is already done. This is by far my favorite card. Absolutely, is the Mistcaller. 6 casting
of every
cost.
Card in the game or just of the shaman cards?
The shaman cards. Battlecry is give all minions in your hand and deck +1/+1. And as soon as he comes out, people want to nuke him. But you know what? The damage is done. He's only a 4/4 creature, which is not bad. I shouldn't say only a 4/4. He's decent, 4/4 creature. But every single minion in your hand and your deck that comes out in the future is going to be buffed to a +1/+1. Now, that doesn't mean when you turn your shaman, your totems over, that you use your hero power, those don't get buffed because that's not a card. That's your power. But every single card that comes out after he is called out has got that ability, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. There's nothing you can do to reverse it. You kill him, it's damage is done. I love this card.
Yeah. So I was thinking that it might go good with Neptulon because Neptulon calls out 4 random Murlocs, but those aren't in your hand or your deck.
No,
those,
they're not.
Those
so they wouldn't be.
Air.
Yeah, they wouldn't be.
So that idea just fizzled
yeah.
as I was thinking it. But yeah, this missed caller plus one. I don't know if I would consider him one of the best legends out there. Certainly the ability...
Shamanish, yeah.
Certainly the ability is kind of nice, but keep this in mind. Your totems, or at least most of your totems, are not in your hand or your deck. So you probably wouldn't want to use this in a totem deck, right? Because the majority of your totems come out of thin air.
No, because now only if you're using your hero power. I mean, you've got a lot of totems out there now that, I mean, you've got your totem golem. That would be a 4/5 creature for 2 mana.
Right, but most of the totems that will hit the board are not going to come from your hand or your deck. Mm. They're going to come from your hero power. So this one card, I think, shies away from the totem deck, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. The graphics are great, too. Everything goes sparkly green. So, no, I like the card a lot. I think it is one of the best shaman cards out there.
There's a lot of legends that do this sort of thing now, where they give you an ability, and the ability is done even after you die. Like Justicar Trueheart, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that ends the shaman cards for this week. Next week, we're going to have our buddy Ugly Brute back, and we will talk about the warlock.
No?
So this week...
Did we get to have Ugly Brute back so we could bully him?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Okay, so... this week, I got an email. Because I have to play with people's decks. It's just... It's Micmac passed the legacy on to me. So I do it. All right. The email reads as follows. Dear Black Lace, I thought that, since you seem to be playing with every Tom, Dick, and Harry's deck, it's about time you pay attention to my deck. I call it Tourney Hunter, as it contains several TBT cards, unlike the Inspire Warrior, which barely has a trace of Inspire. I win with this deck quite often, but it is prone to streaks of winning or losing several times in a row. It is slower than a Face Hunter, yet often far quicker than Control. Beasts and traps and other spells give a good mix of direct damage, and the Elks and Spider Balls give good card draw, usually offering game-turning minions at an end game. The big creatures in the deck help the joust mechanic, and the chances for a big win, if I've lived past turn 9. Remember to always ditch the big minions like in Mulligan so that they can win for you in jousts. There is good chance that the Elks will grant you them later. I promise if you play with my deck, you will not be unsatisfied. And it was given to me by Autumnsbane.
Autumnsbane?
Yes, this guy named Autumnsbane sent me his deck to play with because I was playing with everybody else's deck. So the deck is as follows.
So you literally played with my deck, though.
I did.
Because you don't have the cards.
No, I did. Actually, I had to borrow Autumnsbane's iPad so that I can play it because I don't have all the cards, and I'll tell you, after playing this deck, I really wish I did have all these cards, because I would love to continue playing with it. It was just a blast, because it used the new tourney game mechanics. It's got 2 gadgets and jousters, 2 bear trap, 2 explosive trap, 1 flare, 2 king's elec, 1 eagle horn bow, 2 animal companion, 2 deadly shot, 2 multi-shot, 2 armored warhorse, 1 maiden of the lake, 1 muckless champion, 2 ram wranglers, 1 ball of spiders, 1 Justicar Trueheart, 2 Kodo riders, 1 captured Jormungger, 1 ice howl, 1 king crush, and 1 north sea kraken. I don't have king crush. I think I have everything else. I wish I had king crush because this deck was just so much fun. I played against a stealth priest, which I had never seen that before. The priest, everything he was bringing out had stealth. So I played against this stealth priest, and halfway through the game, he just conceded. I played against a warrior and had, Beastmaster, and then dropped King Crush, and the warrior conceded. Had problems against the mage on turn 4, I destroyed his Dr. Booms very readily with a bunch of the little tricks that I had up my sleeve. I then, He had a 4/4 creature, and with multi-shot and some other things, I dropped web spinners and I killed this 4/4 creature, and I got really excited because Malorn dropped, except he copied Malorn, and then he sheeped mine. Now Malorn, when Malorn comes out, he basically, if he dies, he gets shuffled back into your deck.
Right.
It's a 9 casting cost, and I got him out, and the mage had the secret that duplicated it. And then he sheeped mine, and he was able to just smash me to bits with the copy of my Malorn. I did lose to the mage. The shaman, he had just too many high-powered creatures too fast for me to keep up with, so I lost to him. And the next one I played against was a warlock. And he couldn't keep up with me, and he conceded. So the 3 games that I did win, all 3 of them were to concedes. But it was just a lot of fun. It really was. Somebody in the chat room asked how the stealth priest worked. I just think he had every stealth creature that he could possibly have that would pump itself while it was sitting there. And I couldn't attack his creatures, and he was just waiting for them to... It didn't work well, and I think that's why he conceded. He might have been just trying the deck out, because when I do try people's decks and play with people's decks, I do it in casual mode. So he may have just had this idea, I want to try a stealth priest, let's see how it does, and it didn't work, and that may be why he conceded as well. So, but it did go 3 wins, 2 losses, with much, much fun to be had. Eventually, I'm hoping that I have all the cards myself so that I can earn my own gold instead of earning Autumn's Bane gold. But I did get to play with Autumn's Bane decks.
I really enjoyed the fact that you won 3 games with that and got me my gold for the day.
Well, I got your quest finished, and I finished 2 of your 3 win quests, because the very first time I actually played with this deck was against a priest who conceded immediately. So I couldn't even count it because we hadn't gotten to playing. So I actually played the deck 6 times, and you had a couple wins out there already. So I got you probably, close to 90 gold. It was fun. So anyway, people, go back, rewind. If you've got the cards to play this deck, do so. It is just a ton of fun. It really is. So bravo, Autumn's Bane.
Thanks. Well, other than... for doing other quests. I've been playing this deck almost exclusively since the expansion started because it's fun. I have fun with it even when it loses. And I have maybe a 65% win rate with it, but that varies. Some weeks it takes me several steps up the ladder, and then other weeks, like actually this week, I can't seem to get out of rank 18. But, it's fun. It uses the new mechanics. And people were saying to me, it's like, how do you use Joust in a Hunter deck? They're all fast. I'm like, no, I have these big cards. And the big cards, they help. And this King's Elec, I just love this card. It's like, oh, I win the Joust, and now I have King Crush in my hand. Thank you. North Sea Kraken or Ice Howl in my hand.
Yep,
so
yep.
It was just... really, really fun, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad you didn't like lose 4 out of 5 games.
Yeah, I was a little bit worried, I gotta tell you, but no, it was good. And as I said, all the games I won, it was people conceding just left and right, like just looked at the board and said, no, screw it, I'm done. So it was a lot of fun. We're gonna move on just because we've got to wrap up, but I wanted to, from last week's show, we did have the winner, who was Bot Dragon. Congratulations, and your information has been forwarded on for the headset. The winning photos or screenshots can now be seen at the Holosuite Media website. Just wanted to let you know who did actually with the top 5 that Yang Wu was choosing from with his random number generator. We had Josh Jones with a priest that basically tried to blow up the board and had his opponent had minus 95 health. We had David Bailey with 2 Therians out there. No, 3, excuse me. 3 out there. We had Wade of Kaor's Bot Dragon with the priest who basically blew up the entire board, had all his hand had zero cards, zero casting costs cards. There were like 7 or 8 cards in his hand and they were all zero casting costs. So that was a cool screenshot. Kyle Kinsley, he had 4/17 damage Thaddei. I'm calling them Thaddei. And also we had Zero was actually one of the people, too, with a wall of stone.
Zerotio, not Zerotio. The zero you keep finding on the web.
Right, Zerotio. So he was, basically, he had a whole bunch of stone giants, so I called it the wall of stone, which is kind of a reference to Magic the Gathering, but that was one of the people who was also up for the headset. So congratulations, all 5 of you. The screenshots have been posted to holosuitemedia.com. And again, Bot Dragon, well done. Speaking of contests and such, we don't have tourneys to go over because good old Ugly Brute is not here this week, and that's his little forte. We do have our own tournament coming up. Go ahead.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
So our 7th quarterly tournament
will be
the Autumn Tournament, November 21st. Is that correct?
That's correct. No, that November is a 21st. Saturday night.
Saturday. We haven't selected a time yet, but that's your heads up. It's September 21st because BlizzCon is the 7th and the 14th. Ugly Brute has a commitment. And then after that, it's just when is Thanksgiving? Probably the following week. Really, the 21st seems to work out best. And that's what we'll be doing. So anybody who has enjoyed previous tournaments or would just like to try one for the first time, they're really fun. We have at least 2 of the previous winners in the chat room right now, and hopefully we'll see them too. And it'll be fun. So you'll hear more, and then we'll discuss it more.
Yep, and you can go ahead and start. Yep, you can start signing up now. We don't have a cutoff date because we just actually picked the date. We're hoping that we may have some other surprises along with this, but I'm not going to make any promises yet. So, definitely send in your entries, get signed up, and we'll have the cutoff dates and the time in the future. But right now it's officially the 7th tournament.
Can I correct you?
Yes, but I do.
Don't send in anything yet.
Aw, I get so excited.
I have to send the invitation out first so that people know the exact date and time and the rules, and they don't start signing up for stuff that's not carved.
And if you're not on our mailing list, get on our mailing list by sending us an email, and we will make sure that you get a copy of the invitation.
Right. That's the email you should
make. That's the email you should
saying, hey, I want to be in it. I'm not on your mailing list.
Right. So you can find us on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can listen to us live on Monday nights at twitch.tv/holosuitemedia. You can send us an email at awhearthstone@gmail.com. And yet again, I do want to say, please keep sending us greatest moments of your play this week or your embarrassing ones and decks to play with. I will never turn away. I might not be able to play with them if I don't have the cards, but I will do my best at substituting if I have to. You can find us on iTunes. You can follow us on Facebook or like us on Facebook at AWO Hearthstone. You can listen to us on Stitcher Satellite Radio. You can find us on Google Plus, A Worthy Opponent. Special thanks to Holosuite Media and Xander, as mentioned, for staying up late to run our podcast. And the music provided by Awesome City Limits. Oh my gosh, it's almost a year since they did their song on the BlizzCon last year. And thank you yet again, Micmac, for the live feed that people get to watch on Twitch when we're doing our show. So, thank you guys. Have a great week and happy hearthing.
Bye all.
Bye. There's my ice cube. I love my ice cube.
I'm not convinced it's an ice cube.
It's an ice cube hitting the side of a glass.
Did it say ice, ice, baby?
Maybe.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.
Because I said ice baby.
And now
that was
we're
ice cube. Was it ice cube or was that iced tea?
Yo, man, let's get out of here. Word to your mother.
No, vanilla ice.
That's it, vanilla ice. I knew it was ice
in the woods
somewhere.
Oh, if only Mick Mac was here, he would have got that.